Morning. That was a... About 6 weeks to 8 weeks ago, something like that, the world clock turned over. And I don't know who figures this out, but that we surpassed 8 billion people on Earth. And in terms of like our area here, roughly 100,000 people up over the hill and Proctor and blah, blah. If you multiplied that 100,000 by 800,000 times, that would be the world population. And when they're in the midst of this world, sometimes it's difficult to think, well, I'm just this puny little unit. Some of us aren't as puny as others. But it's easy to feel small. And it might feel sometimes that our day-to-day lives aren't really accomplishing very much. May even feel like you're drowning in a sea of the mundane. Get up, drink coffee, go to work, drink more coffee. Do what you gotta do. Have some lunch, go back to work. Finally get to go back home, do laundry or wash dishes or whatever, go to bed, get up, drink coffee, go to work. Sometimes you wonder, well, what is the function here? What's being accomplished here? However, God does have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. We all have unique gifts and talents. And if you sit around and start having a conversation, particularly about politics or whatever, you'll soon find they all have unique perspectives, opinions. We have identifiable friend groups in various workplaces. And God uses the rich diversity to carry out his will. As even as Apostle Paul was talking about the body ministry, we can't all be noses, we can't all be ears, we can't all be eyes. But within the body of Christ, there are a diversity of gifts. His plans are always bigger and bolder and better and higher than anything we could ever imagine. Are you feeling small and ordinary even today sometimes? In the hands of our Maker, the extraordinary is always possible. That doesn't mean we live a life for every moment, but there are opportunities. There are times when we are brought into a place where God is able to use us to minister. There's times when we're used to speak words of encouragement. There's times when the Holy Spirit will bring scripture to our mind for a particular situation. And the thoughts and intents that we have sometimes get our lives confused because it's very easy for my thought process to be based upon how I feel, not upon God's word. So today, we're going to look at some of this. Father, we just thank you today for the opportunity to gather together. Ask you to send the Holy Spirit to anoint, but also to bring conviction, to prick our hearts, Lord, to open our eyes, put some of that Holy Ghost eye salve on us so that we can see clearly who we are and who those are that are around us, Lord, to see clearly the situation that the world is in, to see that we have potential to be an effective ministry even in our little piece of the world. Thankful for your faithfulness. Thankful for the cross and the blood that was shed to wash away our sin. Thank you for the continual work that you're doing on a daily basis in our lives and that ministration of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps we could call this God's thoughts and plans. He asked me, well, what's the name of what you're going to speak on? Well, I couldn't remember what I'd written down. I had a cup of coffee between now and then. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55 in verses 8 through 13 to get started here. It's already several things that I'm going to touch on have already been spoken about this morning, either in a prayer or in a testimony or in the earlier little message and the presentation. God says, for my thoughts or my devices or my purposes are not your thoughts, devices, or purposes. How many of you know what an Amplified Bible is? Who has one? The Amplified Bible, if you compare it to NIV or King James, is almost twice as thick. That's because they take the words, especially the important ones, and they will make the sentence longer, and they will describe in more detail some of those words within the text in order to give it greater definition, and that's kind of what I just did there. For my thoughts, devices, and purposes are not your thoughts, device, and purposes. Neither are your ways or your journey or the manner in which you go about your life. They're not my ways. It's not my journey. It's not the manner in which perhaps I would have you to go. He's talking about people that are living in the flesh and not living according to the Spirit. And we all still struggle back and forth with that. Sometimes we're in the flesh. How many can admit they're in the flesh once in a while? It may not be very often, but for me it's 50, 60, 80 times a day. And then there's times when we're walking in the Spirit and you will know it. You know that it's happening in your life. You know because you have a peace that passes all of your understanding. Beyond what I know, beyond what my thoughts are, beyond my perspective, there's a peace that can reside within us even in the midst of turmoil. And it can't be explained until you experience it. For even if the heavens are higher than the earth is, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has a way. He has a perspective. There was a purpose for creating mankind in the first place. But man decided he knew better. Right? And even when it came to a point of worship, Cain thought, oh, I'll please God because I know what's better. He said he wants this, but I'll present this. The works of the flesh will never accomplish what God is looking for. The prophet come and he said, I think I hear some sheep bleeding. Not bleeding, but bleating. Meh. There weren't supposed to be any. Because they were supposed to go in and they were supposed to kill everything. But no, no. Well, we have a reason, because we saved the very best to bring and offer it to God. But that's not what God required. He required obedience. So between Cain and Abel, Cain thought that in his flesh, in his way of doing things, would be more acceptable to God than the way that God said he was gonna should do it, right? So that's an explanation of what God is saying here. And in the case of the king of Israel, he was supposed to go and they're supposed to kill this other king and he's supposed to destroy everything and nothing be left. The king thought, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way, Scooby-Dooby-Doo. It didn't work out. That was not what God was looking for. He was looking for obedience. He can bless you when you're obedient. But if you're trying to do it on your own, you're going to stumble. You're going to experience frustration. You'll experience failure. Yeah, but my thoughts are saying this and that and the other thing, and I think maybe I need to do this or I need to do that. And we begin to make excuses. The excuses are never acceptable. Being obedient is acceptable. Well, they made me do this. Or I couldn't resist. Boy, if you're plugged into Jesus, now is the time to get electrocuted and get refried. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not back up there, it waters the earth and makes it to bring forth and to bud. The rain doesn't just bounce off the ground and you see the little raindrops going back up. They stay, they remain. Yes, there's some evaporation, but the basic idea is that the earth will absorb it. Because the grasses and the herbs and the trees and the fruits of the field need that. Because eventually we will partake of those things. And the critters of the earth need that so that they have something to partake of and to eat. Yes, God, are you there? Is that you, Rocky? That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, up until the time of approximately right after World War II, as a farmer, when you brought in the crops from the field, it was divided into percentages, basically. Based on the size of the field you wanted to plant next year, you kept a certain percentage of the seed, the corn, the oats, the barley, whatever it is, was set aside. That's for next spring. We can't eat this part. And the cows can't eat this part. And the chickens can't have that stuff. That is for sowing again. Another part has to be set aside for the feeding of the animals or the critters that you have on the farm. And then another part is for the feeding of the families. Things would be grown. Perhaps they did some of the milling themselves, or they may have a small community mill of some kind where there was grinding to make flour, to roll oats, to grind corn for meal. But then there was a part, if there was anything left over, perhaps they would take it to sell so that they would have cash to buy things that were needful. Things changed then after World War II. You went to the seed farm to buy your seed for the next year, and they began to have certified seeds and guarantee that this will double or triple your crop and all this kind of thing, and GMO took over, and holy moly. Now we're all sick. But even in our lives, we need to think about this. We need to think about of what we take in and what we do. Our time, our energy, our resources, our money needs to be looked at in that same way. Some needs to go for the sowing of seed. Some needs to go for the feeding and the help of the critters. How many feel like a critter someday? You know? Some needs to go for the feeding of your family. Some perhaps for saving. That's one that a lot of people overlook. To save for another time. It says, so shall my words be that goeth forth. Out of my mouth it shall not return unto me void or empty or without cause. But it shall, this is a promise, it shall accomplish which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto that I sent it or I thought about, that I planned, or that would be my particular will for it to go. How are these things accomplished? They are accomplished through us. We are the ones that God uses for His purposes. We are the ministry within the body of Christ that reaches out to a dead, a dying, a wicked, a frustrated world. We need to get a hold of, why am I here? And Lord, I do want to give myself to a purpose for your kingdom, because I know that all the riches of this world and anything I gain, when I'm put in that box, they can only cram so much of my junk in there with me. It's going to belong to somebody else someday. You're only using it for a particular point in time during your life. We think that we own houses and lands. We're borrowing it. And you're paying for it. And you're paying taxes on it. And you don't even really own it. Because there's coming a time when somebody else is going to theoretically own it and pay taxes and upkeep and maintenance. Let's look at Jeremiah, see what the prophet Jerry has to say. Chapter 29, there it is. I want to read that first verse in the NIV first. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for the future. That's a mouthful. Can I really absorb that concept? Can I really get a hold of that idea? Especially on those days when I'm feeling just little and small and puny and worthless and woe is me. I may as well eat worms and die. I gotta get past it. And the only way you can get any real relief is if you know the Word of God, because that is what brings strength to you. That is what will prosper you. The words of God, the words of Christ manifest in your heart, and to be renewed in the spirit, in the attitude of our minds, so that we see that the purposes of God can really be manifest through me. We tend to believe in small things, but God speaks in great things. This morning I was talking to my brother earlier, and I said, well, yeah, we got to get off the phone. I need to cut my hair. And he said, well, how many of them? And you think about that in terms, if you go to the barber, you don't go there and they say, well, what can I do for you? He said, well, I got three hairs I'd like to have cut. There's one over here, and I don't really care which one, just cut one of them. And over here, take one, and in the back, cut one shorter. That's not a haircut. That's craziness. I want the whole thing. I need every one of them cut. Maybe they'll end up being at different lengths. Like these ones on the top of my head are about like that, and the ones on the side by my ears, they get down to being about like this. But I still cut them all. There's still sometimes there's a stray one I'll feel back there and go, whoops, I missed that. But you don't go to the barber for the purposes of just getting one or two or three or four or five hairs cut. You're looking to get them all done. That's the function. If you're going to pay $20 or $30 or whatever it is to get a haircut, and that's why I do my own, you're not going to go there and just get a couple little things done. We can't look at the Word of God in that same fashion. Well, I've got these three verses memorized, or I understand these three concepts about God, and that's sufficient. No, your entire life, we're working towards understanding the Word of God and how that it affects my life, other people's lives, and the lives of those in the world. So that as I walk day by day, I want my thoughts to become more like God's thoughts. Well, if I don't know what God's thoughts are, it's hard for that to take place. And it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to begin to work in and through me. But I have to know what it says. I have to know and to believe that the Word of God is true. I need to know and believe by faith that it has the ability to reach into me and take out that stony heart, to place in there the original heart of flesh that God intended for me to have. Something that's pliable, something that's functional, something that works, something that God can work with. I don't want to stay like I am. Every day, Lord, I need sanctification going on in my life. It can't be a one-time experience and, ooh, I'm okay now. I'm okay, you're okay. Whee! I need to ever be changed into the image of Christ. In the King James, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace. How many like peace? Boy. Not evil. How many like evil? Oh, good. You're awake. And to give us an expected hope. Hopeful end. It's because of the cross that we have hope. We have an expected end. We know the end of the story if we know the Word of God. We know from whence we came, and we were stuck there in sin and frustration, in anger, in fear. But when I look forward to the hope that was provided by his death on the cross, I can now have hope for tomorrow. And for the next day. I need to sit and meditate sometimes. Sometimes we're too busy to just meditate. Now I'm talking about singing om. Om. To meditate on the things of the Lord. To meditate on what Christ is saying and doing. And even our personal time in the Word of God, it's not how much pages or verses or chapters or books you go through. Did you get anything out of it? Was there anything that spoke to you that speaks to me? It'd be better if we read half of a verse and got something that we can chew on and meditate on than to read chapter upon chapter. That ends up being works. Works don't cut it. By being obedient, yes, I want to be in the Word, but it's more important that you get something out of the Word that will minister and speak to your daily life and that will add to this process of being changed continually into the image of Jesus Christ. I got to get rid of my image, be willing to sacrifice my image, and take on the nature of Jesus. And that's not easy, because the flesh wants what the flesh wants. And it works very hard to fulfill that end. And you come sometimes to these points, well, if I do this, you know, this good thing, then maybe I can do these three bad things. Well, maybe I can't do three, but at least I can do one. No. That's why we got to be changed in our thinking, in a renewing of the mind. And to understand, I have to fight against the wiles of the devil. That's why we were given the picture of this spiritual warfare. And the first time you get into spiritual warfare, it's going to be a tough battle. But you got a helmet of salvation to cover our thought process, but yet the flesh wants our thoughts to go somewhere else, down a side trail. We have a breastplate of righteousness to cover our vitals, but yet, how do we get this breastplate of righteousness? We have to know the Word of God. We have to know what it's all about, and to have the faith developing and growing in our lives that it becomes stronger and thicker all the time. A lot of thin-skinned Christians. Particularly when it comes to the devil. Oh, but he was just so abusive today. Yes, he's abusive. But as you grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, there's not a point where you stop growing. We're commanded to raise the children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But if you can view yourself as, I'm not done growing yet, then I continue down that path, I continue on that way, and I try to stay as focused as I can, like Paul was talking about. Boy, that runner, he's got his eyes on that goal at the end. He wants that little fig leaf thing on his head, or olive leaves, or whatever they were. So he can say, I won! For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, and to give you an expected end or hope. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hear you. Wow. Then shall ye call upon me. It's not up to the psychologist to fix you. He can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. You know you're good and well that you're messed up. Why would you go to somebody of the world? I've been there. Some of the perspectives are interesting or whatever. But they couldn't heal me. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus made you in a certain way with the help of the Father and the help of the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that can restore you back to what God had planned for you in the first place. He can give unto you the grace necessary in every life situation to come against the works of Satan and to give you that peace that passes understanding, to give you knowledge in him, understanding of how to apply the knowledge. We combine those and we get the wisdom necessary. Wow. The spirit of counsel comes upon us. All of a sudden we feel like we have some power and some might. We walk in the fear of the Lord, which is to hate all types of evil that have originated from the one who is the devourer of your soul. Then we top it off with the spirit of truth. Not some, we'll bring a little bit of this into the church and we'll bring a little bit of this, some humanism and some philosophy and mingle it all together and everybody will be okay. It don't work that way. It's by the word of God. The pure and unadulterated word of God. No compromise. We're going to preach the word of Jesus. We're going to minister the word of the Lord. Because that's the only answer there is. When wimpy little David went to go see how his brothers were doing, come to find out the whole army is cowering. He said to that giant, you come against me with a spear and a sword and your big macho body, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And every one of those giants in your life that want to express themselves and to make you feel little and puny and small and worthless, It's the word of God that you speak against that thing and say, I will not accept that because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creature. He knew me before the foundation of the world. And he looks down upon me. He sees me in that sea of humanity. Oh, how he loves you and me. And I know this works, because even as a child, and I remember I was in third grade, we lived in a house. Dad took off again. And he was out running around the world somewhere. And I began to have these dreams. And this wolf would come after me. And it would get like this far away, and it would snarl and growl and open its mouth, and you could see the teeth hanging down. And it was like it wanted to chomp me. Now, how old would I have been? 8, 9, something like that. The only thing I mean, and this happened for probably a week or more, and I would just lay in bed and pull the covers up. The picture didn't go away. Then finally one night I began to sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. He never came back. Not that that song or that tune is powerful, but what's behind it. And my understanding is being that little guy, my understanding at that point in time and my faith was based on the fact that I knew Jesus loved me. And even when I responded with that, the wolf went away. And I remember that all my life because there's been other times where he tried to reappear and to manifest himself in other ways. And I still have to respond to that wolf. I still have to remind that wolf, no, I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been bought. I've been paid for. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Wow. And I've talked about this before, but I think it was at the other church, so maybe I'll talk about it a little here. When I was little, we were going to go to the Hy-Vee on Saturday to buy groceries. But when you checked out, you got Greeny Stick'em, S&H green stamps. And I knew that when we got back to granddad's, grandma's, I got to lick them and put them in a book. Gold Bond made them too, but S&H was the most popular, at least in Fairfield, Iowa. Then there was a store right downtown that'd be on the southwest corner of the main drag there, the S&H green stamp store. And you would collect these books full of stamps, and you could go in there and redeem them, give them over, and take something home. Anything from little doodahs in the kitchen to, if you saved enough of them, you could get a whole set of dishes, set of silverware. But the idea was to be redeemed. If those stamps just stayed there at home, they didn't do anything. You had to take them to the store and trade them in. And I'm thankful that there was a place that I could trade in my sin. And I was given eternal life. I was washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been purified by that work that was accomplished on that cross. by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Not just part of it, but when you look for me with all of your heart. That's God's purpose for our life, to seek after him, that everything, every breath that is within us should be towards the heart of God. These other things will happen. These other ministrations will happen. Diversity of gifts will happen when your concept is, my life was made to please him. My relationship is towards him. And there's some of you, you've been wondering, what in the world am I doing? God still has a plan. He's working some things out in your life that you can't think of, because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Our manners are not his manners. Our directions are not his directions. But God sees every one of us. He knows. I want to read that whole little section there again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is very personal, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Peace. In John chapter 14, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you a few things. You caught that? All things, okay? We cannot be satisfied with three hairs being cut. The few things. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever that I have said unto you. My peace, that peace that passes all understanding, I leave with you. My peace, I give it to you. Not a type of peace that the world would give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear wants to come in and take over and cause us to tremble and to shake. I need that peace. The whole world is looking for peace. It's just that they're confused about how to get it. They can go to these summits. They've been going to these goofy summits since I was little. Nothing's ever accomplished, because it's a lie. Because they're basing it upon nothing. If there's no word of the Lord, if there's no foundational, rock solid, then it's just like that house that was put up on the sand and the rain came down and floods grew up and the rain came down and the floods grew. It goes away. No foundation there. They're basing it on man's philosophy, man's intent, man's sick way of thinking many times. We need to go to the rock. We don't think in terms of evil. He doesn't want evil coming towards us. And James says, let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. Wow. For God can't be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt you. If you're being tempted, it's not God, it's something else. And learn to do the warfare against something else. I will not allow you in my house. I will not allow you in my mind, in my car, in my world. You lying filth, go away. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust, his own desire, his own mentality. Wow. And he's enticed. Walk this way. Look at that. Like Harley was talking about last week. Ooh la la. Then when lust has conceived, what happens? It brings forth death. Brings forth death in the form of that sin. The lust brings the sin, and the sin means death. It's simple. There's a progression that takes place. And our minds are relatively feeble because we look at our life and we tend to want to listen to the convenient lies because somehow they make sense to us. But God has a plan for every one of you. Every one of you has a potential within your life to serve the God that made you. It's not going to be the same for Jerry. It is for Mike, for Steve, that other guy back there. For each one of us, we have a different calling and a different place and a different perspective, and that's that diverse boost when it's melded with the Holy Spirit. I got to get myself emulsified. I talked about this one time a couple years back. If you want to make some mayonnaise, you basically have eggs, water, oil. The egg becomes the emulsifier. It's what binds it together. You can shake that water or oil together all day long, and it, as soon as you stop, it goes bloop, bloop. Separation there, see? But the emulsifier in our life becomes the Holy Spirit. Because we do live in this flesh. We do walk in this world of wickedness. But the Holy Spirit is there to bring us to that place where that our giftings can be useful for the kingdom of God. Wow. Hope. In Ephesians chapter 1. He's talking about the Apostle Paul, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul saw the body of Christ as kind of like a responsibility thing. He cared about them and saw them as children. He saw their potential, and his desire was to see them to grow and to expand beyond their puny thought processes and be able to look at God and the ways of God in a much bigger manner. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation or knowledge in the knowledge of him. Well, we need that. We need it every day. We don't need it just on Sunday. We need it every day, starting tomorrow morning, starting as soon as you leave here this afternoon. Wow. Immediately. It needs to be ongoing, continuous in our lives. And that's difficult because we have to face daily things. We get frustrated with stuff. We get angered with stuff. But boy, we so need that in our lives. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. I have a living hope. My hope is not just that someday over the rainbow, things are going to get better. But I have to have the hope of now. In Psalms, it says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Not just to some point in time back yonder, but for now and to all generations. Blessed is the, here we go, nation whose God is the Lord. And we have departed from that as a nation. And the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, and he beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, where he lives, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. You're not insignificant. In his eyes, you're special, you're precious. He desires that relationship with you. Finally, in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He goes on and he says, don't try to be wise in your own eyes. It ain't gonna work. And depart from evil. Man. Father, this morning we thank you. Thank you for your word. We're thankful that you do have a plan and a purpose for us, Lord. And even in our daily, seemingly mundane lives, that you're still behind there. And the opportunities do come to us. Whether it's on that bus on the way home where you're almost getting kicked off, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's amongst your family, wherever it is, Lord, there is opportunity. We recognize also there will be challenges. Now we need to learn to fight back. To fight back against the enemy that would want to devour us, to cause great disillusionment, and to make us impotent within the kingdom of God. I pray for this people here this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they can go forth and understand, to receive the strength that is necessary and the ability to begin to resist every effort of the devil that would want to destroy them and to bring discouragement into their lives. I speak life, prosperity, peace, and hope into every life. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And we're all going to say, amen. Be blessed.